I need a bit more audience participation. I want you to picture the scene. You're in the temple in Jerusalem. It was a bit like a massive church, huge. So think Westminster Abbey meets St. Paul's Cathedral, probably even bigger. And it's the end of a week-long special festival, and it ends with a kind of harvest festival. And the crops have been gathered in, and in Israel now, this is the end of the dry season. And they really need it to rain now before they plant seed for next year's crops, because if there's no rain, there won't be a harvest next year. So they're praying for rain. So imagine I'll be the priest, naturally, and you can all be the people in the temple. So the priest would say, "Lord, remember Moses," and the people would respond either with, "For his sake, do not withhold water," or, "For his sake, send abundant water." Now, I want this side. You're going to say, "For his sake, do not withhold water." You're side one. Do not withhold water. And you are side two. You're going to say, "For his sake, send abundant water." So a little bit of practice. That's not bad, quite good, but it's quite a lot of you, so you guys are going to have to shout a bit louder to match this volume, because you're in the big temple, there's thousands of people, and so you're going to say, considering there's less of them, I think they did a bit better, so you're going to have to up your game, side one. So there are hundreds of people in the temple, so you're going to have to make a lot of noise, and the priest is at the front, and he's getting the crowd kind of all warmed up, and they're all praying to God for his reign. And the prayers would go like this. The priest would say, "Lord, remember Abraham." And the people would say,
"For his sake, do not withhold water."
And then the priest would say, "Lord, remember Isaac." And the people would say,
"For his sake, send abundant water.
Louder. And then the priest says, "Lord, remember Jacob." And the people all say,
"For his sake, do not withhold water.
Still a bit polite. And then the priest would say, "Lord, remember Moses." And the people would say,
"For his sake, send abundant water.
"Lord, remember the 12 tribes."
"For his sake, do not withhold water.
And then the priest would say, "For you, Lord our God, make the wind blow and the rain fall." And they're all getting ready to say amen when some bloke stands up at the back and says, "Hey, you want water? I'm the water. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me will have streams of living water flowing out from them." Jesus had a bit of a habit of surprising people. Right in the middle of the service, he shouts out that he has the water that they really are thirsty for. And in his gospel, John explains that when Jesus said this, he was talking about the Holy Spirit, God's living presence within every believer, the presence of God that flows from him into and through us. Jesus made that possible by his death and his resurrection. When he ascended back into heaven, and the Christian church was celebrating that the other week, he promised his followers that he would send his Holy Spirit, and that's what we heard about in our reading from Acts, how the Holy Spirit came with the sound of a rushing wind and tongues of fire, and how he enabled the disciples to speak to the crowds gathered there from all different countries, all of them being able to hear in their own language. Jesus was still surprising people. So sometimes the Holy Spirit is thought about like wind and flame, and sometimes as water. And I think those are both two really good ways of helping us understand what the Holy Spirit does. Like a flame, he still helps to give Jesus' followers the power to live the life that God wants us to live. He helps us to have the courage and the right words to share with others, to say who Jesus is and what he means to us. And he equips us with all the sort of gifts we need to build up his church. And like water, he gives us life and satisfies all the ways in which we might be thirsty. And there are different ways that we might be thirsty, not just physical thirst, but a longing, perhaps, for something. And the things that we're thirsty about would be different for different people. For some, it's the longing, perhaps, to know that we're truly loved, just for who we are. For others, it's the longing to know true inner peace. And for others, the longing to know that there's more to life and that they have a purpose. And Jesus makes the outrageous claim that he can satisfy all those kinds of thirst that we have. And he invites us to come to him and to drink and drink and drink until that thirst is quenched. If there's anywhere in our lives where we feel dry or thirsty, we can tell God and ask for his Holy Spirit to fill those dry places with his living water. So at our baptism today, we've already used water to remind us of the way that Jesus can make us clean on the inside and give us forgiveness and a fresh start. But that water can also remind us of his Holy Spirit, who's not just like water poured on the outside, but is like a spring of water within us to refresh us and give us life. Now, later on in the service, we're going to use this candle, this big candle here at the front. It's a special candle called a Paschal candle. We light it usually the first time at our sunrise service on Easter Day to sort of symbolise for us Jesus rising from the dead. So that's, if you like, symbolising Jesus. So here's another candle. So if this candle is me, or you, and I take some of this flame and light this flame, is that the same flame or a different flame? It's kind of both. It's sort of separate, but it's actually still kind of come from that flame. It's still part of that flame. And later, I'm going to light a candle, two candles from that candle, and give them as a reminder that Jesus has promised to be with his followers forever, always. Not just with them, but within them. We have his Holy Spirit, which is part of that same flame, the same Holy Spirit that we've just heard of in our readings, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of God. And his followers will always have him with them wherever they are, because the Holy Spirit will be within them. And that's an incredible, amazing promise. Maybe it's a surprise to you. But that's Jesus, isn't it? He keeps surprising us, and it's Jesus' offer, his promise to all of us. Amen.
The reading is taken from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4 and 13 to 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Second reading is from John chapter 7, starting at verse 37. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified.